The episode you're about to listen to is a special edition of The Startup Show, recorded during Grit Daily's live event at South by Southwest. Here we have an expansive range of topics and featured experts from various industries. Enjoy.
So welcome to the Grit Daily Lively House here at South by Southwest. I'm John Biggs. I'm interviewing today Denise Vitola. Denise, why don't you introduce yourself to the folks and let's talk about influencer marketing, which is, I think, vitally important now because I don't think I buy anything off of the TV anymore.
And I'm thrilled that you said that. And let me first introduce myself. So I'm Denise Vitola, and I'm a vice president of brand strategy at Linkia, which is an influencer marketing agency. And the unique and interesting thing that I will share is I started on Tuesday of this week, right?
Okay.
And for those that are listening, it is Saturday.
Right.
And
are you sure you have the experience necessary for this interview? I'm worried.
Well, the reason why I bring that up is because I left a job. I used to work at Bayer and Claritin, One A Day, all of those brands. And I was focused on many things: integrated marketing, social, influencer. And like you said, when you first introduced, you said, I don't buy anything if an influencer's not telling me about it. That's what I see. That's the trend I see. And I said, you know, this is my moment to actually step away from all of those other things and really hone in on what I really want to do, what really brings me joy in my life and gets me out of bed. And that's influencer marketing.
So selling analgesics to a...
Wasn't
globe.
Doing it for it me
wasn't,
anymore.
It wasn't in there. Yeah, well, I understand. Yeah, Bayer has a certain number of clients, and then they all die out over time. All right, so why don't we talk a little bit about influencer marketing? So in the context of your previous job and the current job, what's changed in the influencer marketing world?
So I started in influencer marketing a really long time ago, and it was Blogger days, I don't know, where mommies were blogging, and Vine just opened up this cool place in California. Those were the days when I was introduced to influencer marketing, and I was working on brands like P&G, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and we started dipping our toe in this influencer space. Who are these people? What are they? What's their value? And what's the value equation for us? So things have definitely, you know, expanded and grown. But the main point is when COVID happened, it was an explosion. So it was kind of this like wave that was flowing forward with influencer and creator. COVID happens and all of a sudden becomes a tsunami.
Mm-hmm. And you think that's just because people were just creating more? They were at home, they were stuck, and they were just making.
Making sure, but I think more of it was people
consuming.
Were at home and they're bored and they're on social media more. And they want that connection. They want that connectivity. And they're looking for it everywhere. And they turn to influencers. Used to say a long time ago, but it stands true today, influencers are those friends that you don't know. Mm-hmm. They're the people that are making an impact on your life, but they're not people you spend your daily hours with. But they have a great influence on you and your decision making.
Okay. So let's say I'm doing a startup or I'm creating a product. And I want to start working with influencers. And historically, the ROI on giving somebody a couple $1,000s to post like my product is fairly limited. What do you think is the best practice right now in terms of doing exactly that?
Yeah, I think the best practice is looking at the influencer in a partnership deal. So not just saying, I'm going to give you my product and you're going to post it on your channels, but how can I actually tap into your audience? How can I create a series of messages with you that you're hitting on different aspects of my product? How do I use you to personalize the messaging? How do I use you to reach a targeted community? And you want to work with the influencer because they have all of that information. So how do we co-collaborate and deliver a piece of content that not only they're using, but me as a brand, I'm looking at that piece of content and I'm saying, okay, where else can I use this piece of content? Can I use it on my own social media pages? Can I use it in my advertising? There's various ways to take that piece of content, put it in paid, and get bigger return on your investment. So that $3,000 becomes a greater value of upwards of $300,000, dare I even say $3 million return on investment.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. Like as an old fogey journalist, I was writing for the paper version of the New York Times. How do I know that there's actual value there? How do I know that I'm going to be selling something if I tell this person, if I work with these person? And also, how do you scale that, right? So it's one person and you're one person. You're accessing X 100,000, X million potentially viewers, but how do you scale that out to the viewership that like a bearer is looking for?
Yeah. Well, I would recommend working with more than one influencer. You can just work with one, but I would recommend working with more than one. And you take the piece of content and you optimize it, right? So you're not just going to have the influencer use it on their own pages, their own social networks. You're going to take that piece of content and optimize it as far and wide as you can. So when you're optimizing the piece of content, you're putting paid media behind it. Mm-hmm. So think of it as like an advertising asset, right? So it's no longer editorial where you're relying on impressions. This is a paid asset where I can get ROAS, I can get MMM, MTA markers on it, Nielsen ratings, I could do an IRI study, I could do a brand lift study, a sales lift study. So the metrics and the way that we measure influencer is on par with other marketing tactics.
So it's not just let's post one thing to Instagram and hope that it works. It's give us that content, give us that creative, put it places that we have traditionally have had control over, right?
Right, exactly. And that's what I advise. Mm-hmm. You can do that. You can work with an influencer just organically and just having them socialize it on their own pages. But that's like 30% of 100% equation. So if you're not executing the rest of it, the 70%, then you're not going to see the full return on investment. So I'm not suggesting that if you just hire an influencer and they leverage their own social channels, that that's not going to be effective for a brand. It can be, but why would you not activate the rest of it?
Okay. If I had I don't know, let's say I'm a startup and I have a fairly complete B2C product, how much do I need to spend on an influencer campaign like that?
Well, it's hard to say because, I mean, look, you can spend anywhere from $50,000 to $500,000, right? So it really depends on how you want to, how much you want to reach and what your sort of return you want on it. I would say the one thing I would say versus like how much money you're going to spend, because that's all relative, is more so as a startup brand, and you take someone like Liquid Death, who came into it. Now everybody's like, oh, everyone loves Liquid Death and everybody's heard of it. But they started out as a startup and started partnering with influencers. And that's how they built their brand, on the backs of influencers and creators. And there's a lot of beauty brands that do that too. And the reason I suggest as a startup, if you're going to do anything, if you only have $50,000, you can't advertise, you can't do anything else, you just don't have enough money. Partnering up with influencers is the smartest and best thing to do because it's so cost effective. And you could even potentially enter into partnerships. Like I know Bombas has a lot of influencers that they work with, and they don't pay their influencers. They do an affiliate marketing program. That's a whole nother conversation. But nonetheless, they are growing their reputation socially by inviting influencers in as part of their business strategy.
How do you find somebody who's not just I don't know, somebody who's authentic, right? I'm not just in it for the money in that way. How can you be sure that person is actually going to deliver? What are some rules of thumb when you interact with these folks?
Yeah, that's the hardest part. Is I say it all the time. There's so many bad actors out there. You can call them bad actors. You can call them hacks. You can call them whatever it is you're going to call them. But finding the right influencer that's going to pair up and be appropriate for your brand is very hard to do. So that is why I suggest to people to work with like the company I'm at, like Linkia, because they have carefully curated lists. They have vetted these influencers. They use AI technology to sort of evaluate all of their content, soup to nuts. Are they too political? Are they too this? Are they too that? Too racy? And all of this is sort of put through proprietary technology to vet the influencers. Now, you may say, hey, if I'm on a startup, I may not be able to afford Linkia. Well, you have to do your due diligence. And it's basically investing the time to look at each and every person that you're trying to partner with and look at their return. And then when you work with them, you say, they have access to their own analytics. So you want to ask them, show me your analytics, show me the demographic that you're reaching. And that influencer, if they're a good influencer, they will know how to access it and deliver it to you because, hey, they want these partnerships just as much as the brands do.
Okay. And if I'm an influencer, what should I do to make myself stand out to somebody who might want to do sponsorships with me?
Yeah. Be a good storyteller. Invest in your content. Make sure your content is thumb-stopping content that no one wants to scroll by. They want to engage with. Familiarize yourself with the community that you're reaching. Hone in on your message, just like a brand would. What do we stand for? An influencer needs to do the same thing. Like, what do I stand for? I'm this, not that. And look at other influencers that maybe you want to emulate and look at those that you don't. And what is that open opportunity, that gap that you can fill? Because you don't want to be too like somebody else. You want to make sure that you're filling a niche, but it's you've got your special thing that you do.
Mm-hmm. How do you get attention of somebody like you at Linkia, or how do you get the attention of a bigger brand?
Start reaching out. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I have about 12,000 followers on Instagram myself. And every once in a while, not that I'm trying to make money off of being an influencer, but every once in a while, I'll make a recipe and I'll use a certain ingredient. And, you know, if a brand comments on it and says, oh, thank you for tagging me, I'll respond back to them. If you want to see more of these videos, I'm more than happy to do that. Let's talk about what a partnership may look like. Mm-hmm. But maybe you're a person that uses a particular product. I mentioned Bomba socks before. I wear them all the time. So why don't I just slide into the DMs of Bombas and say, I wear your socks all the time. I'm headed to South By. I'm about to speak on a stage at South By, walk through the airport. I have a spin class on Sunday I'm taking in the morning. I'm going to have Bombas on my feet the whole time. I could take tons of video, tons of content, post it on my own channel, reach my audiences, and then give you all that content that you can use on your own social channels, or you can use it in advertising. Mm-hmm. So that's why your content's so important. You got to get good at making it so that these brands will use it. Now, you have to be aggressive with it. You know, you need your pitch deck, you need your, you know, media analytics, and then you have to start reaching out to companies. And you can reach out to a Linkia, an influencer marketing agency, and say, hey, I'm looking to do more brand deals, and I would like for you to consider me to start inviting me into these brand deals.
So you talked a lot about the early blog days, and I was pretty familiar with all that. What do you think happens to the influencer industry over time? Like, obviously the blog world kind of contracted and was kind of overtaken by social media to a degree, but there's still like a few of the big guys are still kind of floating around there, either bought by PE or they're still hanging in somehow.
Yeah.
What happens in the next 10 years with the influencer? Is it just like Mr. Beast, like, and somebody in biker shorts who just wins the game, or is it something else?
So my advice to influencers, because I attend a lot of influencer conferences and I meet a lot of influencers or creators, and I say to them, you don't want to just rely on pitching brands and products on your social media channels. You need more in-depth relationships. And you bring up Mr. Beast. And one thing that he's done really well is he's building a brand and he is going beyond social media. He's got a food line that's come out, and you have the Charlie DeMillos of the world who's creating a perfume line, and all of these influencers are sort of have a podcast, or I'm appearing on a TV show. So you want to make sure you get a manager that's going to help you expand beyond. Now you've begun popular on social media. How do you take that and then channel it into other areas that you're passionate about so that you're going to still exist? And that's where I see influencer going. I see that the influencers, you're going to get rid of all these like bad actors we talked about. And the ones that rise to the top are going to start popping up in other places. And then brands are going to have a bigger opportunity to partner with these influencers beyond social, but they're still going to borrow their equity. I don't think influencer marketing is going anywhere. I just just think the opportunities to partner with influencers are going to increase.
Okay. All right. So, what's a budget? Let's say if I'm ready to go and I want to talk to you guys, what's a budget that I need to put together to spread a message?
Like I said before, the budget can vary. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more about the strategy and putting the right kind of program together. I mean, you are looking at six figures, right? So if we wanted to put a stake in the ground and say, how much money do I have to spend? But there are companies that have gone as low as 50,000, like I said. But in my opinion, if you want to do everything I talked about, you want the full suite of services, you want access to the content, you want 10 influencers, I would recommend to a company, if I was sitting down and you worked at X company and you were like, well, Denise, I really need to know what budget I need to do all of the things you just told me to do. Well, you're looking at six figures at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in terms of like crisis management, what happens when like, I don't know, somebody who makes a really nice potato salad ends up on like video at J6 or something like that? How do you manage that situation?
Yeah.
Because I mean, these are just people for all intents and purposes.
Exactly.
Maybe they're not well managed like maybe the quote unquote stars are, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. I think first of all, for a brand, if one person makes a foul comment, let's not panic. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's investigate who that person is. A lot of these are like sleuths and bots and just, it's not even worth worrying about. But there are moments, as you said, that it is a crisis. And one thing I would say is whenever a brand is working with influencers, they are not the ones that are on your front line defending that. So you want to partner with influencers and in their contracts, tell them if something negative comes in, you're not to comment on it and you're not to deal with it. You can alert us as the brand and we will deal with it because they will have a crisis team. It's their brand and they will represent it in the proper way. So just make sure everybody, before you get into the situation with an influencer, that you're prepared for what may happen. I will say I've been doing this for a long time. I rarely see any like mega crisis, and I've worked in financial, pharma, industries where you think people would say things. I mean, I worked on a brand that was for upset bellies. And the worst thing somebody said, and we would talk about diarrhea and all this like stuff that, you know, somebody's going to slide in there and say something ridiculous. Worst thing they said is, oh, this stuff works great for my dog. Well, for us, that's an issue because it's not prescribed for your dog. So again, influencer knows not to comment on that. We come in, we say, well, that's off label. You're not supposed to be doing that. So you have to manage the influencers and manage the process. And that's quite honestly why you want to hire an agency like Linkia, because for a brand person and a company to actually manage that process is quite intense.
Okay. Tell me a story about a time when somebody surprised you, either good or bad, when it came to some kind of influencer interaction.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have a great example for it. And as I said, I just recently worked at Bayer, and one of the brands at Bayer is Midol. So it's for menstrual cramps, for those of you that don't know. And we did a program, which quite honestly is one of my most favorite programs that we executed. And it was called No Apologies Period. So basically, we were inviting all those menstruators and saying, listen, you don't have to apologize that you're calling out of work or apologize that you can't attend a dinner because your cramps are so bad, you just really can't make it. So we built that off of an insight that once menstruation starts, you're more likely to apologize more. We as a society already apologize too much, but we noticed that and we built off of it. Now, with this campaign, you heard me say, we were addressing all menstruators. It's, you know, equity was important, equality, excuse me, it's important to the brand. And we had a few people that stood in and said, I'm a woman, I menstruate, I don't know what you're talking about, just say women. Or we would have people come in and, you know, just make various comments. You get it, right? And right away, you know, we want to address this. And as soon as those comments were made, because we built such a strong social community with all of the work that we did leading up to this campaign, we didn't have to. We had influencers that we had partnered with in the past. We had KOL voices, celebrity voices that was defending us for us. So we didn't even have to step into the conversation because everyone stepped up and had that conversation for us.
Okay. Well, super. All right, so why don't you tell folks how they can get in touch with you at work, where they can see your recipes on Instagram or wherever?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at D's Workouts, and I do the emphasis because it is with a Z on both D's. Ends.
Okay.
D-E-E-Z, and then workout with a Z. That's a story for another day, but yeah. It's D's Workouts on Instagram. I'm Denise Vitola on LinkedIn and other social media channels. On TikTok, I'm Fit Foodie. And because I love food, and that's probably why I work out so much. But that's where they can find me, or at Linkia. I'm denise.vitola@linkia.com. So if anybody wants to reach out and execute a brand campaign, you can reach me there or anywhere, quite honestly.
All right, super. Thank you very much, Denise.
Thank you.
A lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks.